Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Rhino Ag. And today we're going to get a history lesson from King of the Midgets, Mel Kenyon. We'll also hear from sponsor guest Bob Sagan from Shocker Hitch, and a little more from our friend Josh at Rhino Ag, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Mastel Brothers Trailer Service Incorporated has become the Upper Midwest's largest and most respected sales, service, and rental provider of all types of trailers to multiple industries, selling a comprehensive line of new and used trailers and parts from the most respected brands in the industry, as well as Mastel Brothers' own unique designs and offerings. Contact Mark Daniels at 651-639-9017 or visit MastelBrothers.com and browse through their website to learn more about their products and services.
Transform your garage into an extension of your home with a custom finished floor by Garage Force. No matter how you use your garage, Garage Force has you covered. American made, backed by a lifetime warranty, our professionally installed industrial grade coatings will protect your garage from anything life throws at it and makes cleanup a snap. More importantly, it's the unbelievable feeling you get each time you use your dream garage. Visit us online at GarageForce.com.
Call Todd at 651-387-9213. That's 651-387-9213.
You're coming out of turn four and heading to the checker flag. You can feel your engine pulling for all it's worth. Is it worthy of winning a championship? Hi, this is Corey at Byers Engine Service in Rochester. We spent decades building racing engines for some of the biggest names in Minnesota racing history, including Jason Cummins' national championship winning engine in 2017. If you want the confidence that you have a winning motor under the hood, then call us at Byers Engine Service in Rochester today at 507-282-5586. The rest of the car is up to you. We'll take care of the horsepower.
Fast Shafts owner Pat Fagan is a racer himself and has been testing and building drive shafts for himself and teams all over the nation since 1992. Fast Shaft drive shafts are the number one carbon fiber, steel, chrome moly, and aluminum drive shaft builder for over 90% of the major modified chassis builders. Drive shafts, drive shaft repair, 9-inch Ford center sections, slip yokes, rear end yokes, ring and pinions, bearings, spools, gears, shim kits, and more. Call Fast Shafts today. Made by racers for racers. 800-622-6617.
Extreme!
Have you ever wondered what to do with that worn-out patio furniture or railing? How about your trailers, brush guards, even your rims? Have Extreme Powder Coating sandblast your items to perfection and apply the most durable metal finishing in the industry. Custom powder coating colors are available. Looks like paint, acts like armor.
Extreme Powder Coating.
Race fans, the biggest secret at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum isn't really a secret at all. Every race night in Knoxville, race fans can purchase tickets to sit on the museum's second floor in climate-controlled comfort. So whether it's hot outside or cold and windy, it's always just right on the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum's second floor, right on top of the museum. All you have to do is call in advance or come into the museum on Saturday afternoon to purchase second-floor tickets to watch the sprint car races from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in climate-controlled comfort. So the next time you're in Knoxville on race day and would like to watch the sprint car races from climate-controlled comfort, stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum and check out our second-floor seating. You'll be glad you did, and we'll see you in Knoxville.
Hey, this is Dave from Severson Oil, VP Racing Fuels, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by racing legend Mel Kenyon, the King of the Midgets. And Mel, let's start off with your early years. You began racing in 1954 in a 37 Chevy Coupe. What drove you to get started in racing?
Well, just the opportunity, I guess. But again, it was Freeport, Illinois, and it was kind of a disastrous night. Had a flat tire and flipped the darn thing and pretty well ruined it.
In 1954... you began racing midgets, and those were some very unique cars back in that era. They were homemade cars powered pretty much by whatever the owner could come up with for a power plant to put in them, and they were all home-built back then.
Yes, that's true. In fact, I helped build this midget race car, if you will. I pedaled my bike faster and saw something happening, so I stood by the door for a long time, and he said, come here and hold this while I tack it. And so I helped build that home-built midget, if you will. And it was powered by a Ford tractor motor, so it was one of the first overhead rocker arm engines, Ford tractor engines available, industrial motor, if you will. And that's how we got started with that Ford tractor.
And I remember reading about the midgets back then, and some of the real early ones were chain-driven. Some of them were powered by Edo wash machine motors. They had some very strange setups.
Well, at that time, of course, they're all home-built. You couldn't buy one. And they kind of powered by whatever they had available. And so they're from motorcycle motors to outboard motors to tractor motors, V860 motors, in fact.
Your very first midget championship came in 1962 in NASCAR's Florida Midget Series. How did you get from racing in the Midwest to racing down in Florida?
Well, actually, I had a friend of mine who owned a Ford dealership, and Leon Mensing, and he had a V8, again, Ford 60 motor in his race car, and he asked me to go run down there, and so we did at various tracks, but mostly at the Quarter Mile Dirt Track in Daytona Beach. It was interesting. All kinds of race cars, of course, there, and you had the mainly finished. And you finished and were consistent. You won the championship.
What do you remember about the competitors you were racing with in 62?
Well, actually, everybody was very eager to do their very best. And, of course, anything and everything you had to run against. So it wasn't anything equal about it like there were years later where everybody had a Curtis Craft and they all had the same motors, Offenhauser motors, but nevertheless you had to start someplace, and that's the way we started and did pretty good. In fact, he invited me to run indoors also at Fort Wayne, and so that was my first adventure to Fort Wayne in that V860 motor.
You won your first Turkey Night Grand Prix in 1963 and again in 1975. What does winning that particular race mean for a midget driver?
Well, actually, that's kind of the hot dog, if you will, a gathering of the champions, whoever wanted to come, of course. But nevertheless, you had to run against all kinds of variety of race cars and drivers. And winning the first one, of course, Farnelli Jones, I worked on his car, but his car quit near the end of the race, and he blamed me for it. No way. I didn't have anything to do with your Magneto going away. But the opportunity to run that Turkey Night race was kind of a championships race, if you will, from all over the country. And then Dave Darlin and I are the only two who have won it on dirt and pavement. And then in 75, we had sent two cars to New Zealand, Australia for A.J. Foyt and I. And we had one left over, one frame sitting there. And so in a week's time, we put it together and put a Sesco motor in it and went to California on 605 Speedway. And we managed to win against all the elite there on that pavement race. So Dave Darlin and I are the only two that's won on dirt and pavement.
That is a really neat piece of trivia that I did not know, and Dave is a really neat guy.
Yeah, he really is. Again, he's ran in New Zealand, Australia also, as I have, and my young son, Bryce, their first child is named after Dave Darlin. So,
your first of seven USAC Midget National Championships came in 1964, the year I was born, by the way. Is the first one always the sweetest?
Well, it's the start, for sure. In fact, the car that we ran that year was built by A.J. Watson, a Speedway driver, owner, and a builder, roadster cars mostly, but that was the only midget that he built, and this car owner couldn't figure out, and the people he had driving for him couldn't figure out how to make it work and handle. And so he says, if you can figure out this race car, you can drive it all year. And so we ended up winning our first national championship with that old Willard Coil car, actually, with an Offie motor in it.
The June 20th, 1965 crash at Langhorne, the fact that you survived it and then had any interest to get back into racing is just inspirational.
Well, that's true. It's one of those deals. I had to be the first one to break a fuel bladder in that crash, but I got rammed from the rear, if you will. In fact, that race car that I tried burning up in is the same one Bill Vukovich Sr. died in, which a lot of people didn't know, but it was a different type of race car in 1964. We did real well with that race car, and then in 65 I had the opportunity to go to Langhorne, Pennsylvania, And because they had paved that very famous dirt track into asphalt, we thought maybe we'll go give it a try. It didn't turn out to be a good deal.
Describe Langhorne back in that period, because I've heard so many stories about the track. When it was dirt, it was ruddy, it was rough, it was dusty. You never really got out of a corner. It seemed to be one big round bowl. And when they paved it, it didn't seem to get any better as far as safety.
Well, that's true. It was mainly a round racetrack, except one short straightaway at the home grandstand. And so you're always in a corner and you're always busy. And it used up 11 different drivers. And, of course, I tried to be the 12th one. But I lost the motor and headed for the infield. But that place had a centrifugal of its own and went out and bumped the outside wall and turned around and going the right direction and was down to about 30 mile an hour when Ralph Liguori and Jim Herdebees were having a private battle. All of a sudden, there I was. And, of course, they couldn't do anything about it and blasted me from behind. And I lost a motor, actually, and so I left a little oil and water on the racetrack. And they got into that stuff, and here they come and couldn't stop. And I was the victim.
Mel, reading your book, Burn to Life, and the section in there about the recovery in the hospital, I can't imagine what you went through, especially all the scrub downs to get the dead skin off and to recover from those burns. It really takes a mentally strong person to make it through that.
Well, definitely so, but again, was in bad situations three different times and ready to die for the third time, and I was in such lousy condition, if you will. You can't believe a pussy, runny mess I was. And my wife said at that time that there was only one person that could help me, and I didn't really think so much at the first time, but then she actually talked me into it, and so with her help, I turned what was left of my life over to the Lord Jesus and asked him to do what he wanted to do with it, not what I wanted him to do with it. And so in a week, from being this messy individual to waddling out of that place in just a week and a half was a miracle in itself. But then we had to go home to a funeral of a guy that got me started in racing, who was a floor manager at a roller rink. And so we flew home. Firestone flew us down there to the Burn Hospital, and then Bear Manufacturing flew us back home to Moline Airport, rode back over to a funeral home. So not a great way to come home, too, but yet a great way to come home.
Out of tragedy came triumph with the formation of 3K Racing Team with your father and brother. That had to be cool to be able to do that with your dad.
It was really good. In fact, the folks chased us all over the country to watch us race. And on the way home from a trip to Florida, my mom jumped into dementia, I guess, if you will, and they couldn't find her for a while and ended up in a hospital in Atlanta, Georgia, sort of halfway home from Florida. And went to see her, and everything was fine. And I thought, sure, she'd be home in a short order. Didn't turn out that way. They hooked her up to mechanical life-saving devices, if you will, and she didn't like that idea too well, so she unplugged herself. And after the third reading, we all told them to unplug her, and so she came home by airplane, but not in a life form.
What was it like all those years working with your brother? It seems like you guys had a tremendous relationship. Maybe it got strained at some points in time, but you always came out of it working as a team, and not so many people can do that.
That is true. We've had a lot of differences of opinion, but we always got ourselves worked through it and continued on. In fact, at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, he was my mechanic and chief mechanic, if you will, and he helped me through those up and down situations also. And then when I had that bonfire, of course, we were leading the national point standings by 100 points, and Mike McGreevy was listed to finish the year out, and he won the championship for himself and my brother, too. And we ended up fifth in the point standings, so it wasn't too bad for being in a burn hospital. But nevertheless, it's a great way to start. In fact, we ended up with 14 different championships, but 10 national championships and 4 regional ones. So pretty good deal for, if you will, a short-dollared team.
11 months after the Langhorne crash, you qualified for your very first Indy 500. As a driver, what does it mean to be able to race at the Indy 500?
Well, that's a gathering of the champions from around the world, if you will. And in fact, getting out of the hospital, these 12 doctors said that I'd be there for 9 months, 3 months rehab afterwards. And with the Lord's help, of course, we proved them wrong. We were out of the hospital in 3 months. And back in a race car in 6 months, back at Indianapolis Motor Speedway in 7 months. So that was a fantastic deal. And then qualified for the race in the Federal Engineering Special and got bumped the last day, the last half hour of the race, not enough time to find another ride and get up to speed. And so we were in the big race and out of the big race in a short order. So we went to town with our midget and won all three races prior to the 500 that year. So that was better.
Four top five finishes in the Indy 500, including a third place finish in the 1968 Indy 500 in a car sponsored by your hometown of Lebanon, Indiana. What an incredible story.
Yeah, Fred Gerhardt, he's had a race car there that John Cock had just traded in, and John Cock and company just traded in, and so he says, you got to ride, but you're going to have to find a way to get some money to run that thing, and so the city of Lebanon went to the if you donor situation, if you everybody and everybody kind of donated, and so we had up enough money to pay for our food and boarding of our team that was gathered from around the country. I think it was four or five of us as all, but nevertheless, we were able to make that race, and we were actually running in second place behind a guy from England, a Formula One driver, Graham Hill. And he ended up winning the race, and we plugged the nozzle on the last fuel stop. Fortunately, it plugged it, and it didn't burn up anything, and so it just ran on three cylinders for 70 laps. And we went from second place back to fifth place, but I learned how to drive without using the brakes and without backing off the throttle. No ground effects or anything at that time, and so we only slid back to fifth place, so that turned out to be very fortunate.
And that's a topic a lot of people do not think of. Even if you can afford to field an Indy car, the expenses of being there for the entire month for all the qualifying and testing and practicing and having your whole team there and any backup parts or tires that you may need, that's a huge expense.
Well, that's true. And, you know, at that time, we ran the whole 500 without stopping for tires. And, of course, I was involved in that main straightaway crash when another guy got out of shape and collected a guy in front of him, and then there was another guy in my way. I had to make a zig to miss him, and he took out the three in front of me and the two alongside of me and the three behind me, so that was fortunate as can be. But anyway, I spun and bumped the outside wall, just knocking the tire off the wheel, no damage. So fortunately, half the field missed me, and we were able to change tires after the green flag dropped. We were able to change tires and get back into the race and end up running fifth, so that was fantastic.
This season, on April 6th, I opened up with Johnny Rutherford, and I have to ask you about that Indy crash where you actually unbuckled and began to exit the car at Indy.
Yeah, that's true. And again, Steve Grisloff, sponsored by STP, blew his motor going down into three. Well, the yellow light came on as I came out of number two corner and slowed down to what I thought was a safe speed and got down into the third turn and got into the oil that he had dropped, and so it just spun and bumped the wall and knocked the tire off the wheel. No damage. And so I unhooked and slid back and was ready to get up out of the car. And here comes Mario Andretti, John Cock, and Rutherford. And Rutherford missed us all. But Gordon John Cock ran right over the top of me. No seatbelt hooked or nothing. I just was in a crouching position when I saw him coming. And the inertia of him running into the car and over the car sat me kind of upright and left a tire track in my helmet. So I got out of the car and waddled into the infield with the right boot half off, and sat down on the ground, rubbed my shins, and took my helmet off. And, holy cow, there's a tire track in my helmet. I could have lost my head.
Mel, you nearly won your first Champ Car event at Michigan in 1972, but ran out of fuel right at the very end.
I sure did. In fact, we were averaging 199, I think, at the Michigan International, and the car held 75 gallons of fuel. But after we put bladders in it, it was 3 gallons short. And so we knew we were going to be in a short position. If we stopped or made a pit stop and took fuel on, we might finish third. So we're going to give it a whirl. And so we got the white flag, and I thought, we did it, they did it, and ran out of fuel. Closer to a stop in the third turn. And Joe Leonard, who tried to pull me out of the fire, won the race. So that turned out okay. And anyway, they paid me for third. That doesn't get paid what first does. But nevertheless, it was a good run.
At the time you were inducted into the National Midget Hall of Fame, you already had over 100 USAC midget wins. Then you went on to win the USAC National Midget title again in 1985. That's just amazing.
Yeah, I was really fortunate to win seven of those things in the USAC division against all the best in the world. That was really fantastic. And we have 394 feature wins that we can remember now from New Zealand, Australia, and this country, and Canada, And that's a fantastic amount. But when you figure we had 632 second and third places, that's better yet. At that time, we had to be consistent and save your race car because traveling around the country for 90 races a year, there wasn't time to fix and straighten cars. And we had a spare motor, incidentally, one day when we were out east running. And since Tom Bigelow had a problem with his car and needed a motor, so we loaned him our spare motor. And darn if he didn't finish one spot in front of me in the feature race that we loaned him the race two. And we lost the championship by 3 points, so turned out to be another, oh well.
During that period of time, you were also running against my friend's father a lot, Johnny Parsons Jr.
Right, and then of course his son, I believe, just won a sprint car race not too long ago this year, Unwing sprint car race, I believe, and so the third is up and running, yet and still in the Johnny Parsons family. And I think he's MC at a gathering coming up here this fall someplace too, John Parsons the second.
You won the 1993 Indianapolis Speedrome midget title. What was that series all about?
Well, actually, it's a short track in Indianapolis, not too far away, a little fifth-mile pavement track, and we run six times there this year. But to go there the night before the 500 and win that race, that was fantastic. And then we managed to win the night before the 500 at Kokomo, and then IRP, we won that thing, I think, three or four times at IRP also on a big pavement track. To win that race the night before the 500 was not like winning the Indianapolis 500, but it was not too bad.
In 1995, you stopped running the national tour, but ran the Midwest-based NAMARS championships in 95, 96, and 97, and you won all those while you were in your 60s. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, in fact, when I finally quit driving race cars, I was only 75 years old. I was hoping to get to 80 years old, but didn't quite make it. My wife and my billfold had other things to say about that.
Now, you continue to build race cars to this day.
It's true, but again, I help build. My brother does the tubing, bending, and the welding, and I work on anything and everything that has to be done. I set all the cars up now, and we take care of nine cars, and we still haul five cars to the racetracks, but it's the Canyon Midget Series for beginners. 12 years old now, you can start driving a midget. I had to wait till I was 21. In fact, people that have started in our race cars, eight of them have gone into NASCAR. And some of them come back to the open wheels, but it's still an elite bunch. In fact, at the Tony Stewart race at the Speedrome Indianapolis, again, a 75-lapper, four of our cars finished in the top 10 against all the elite hot dogs, if you will, 385-horse cars, and we only got 125-horse. So that was kind of nice.
Mel, imagine what you could have done with nine more years on the other end if you would have started when you were 12.
Yeah, true enough. Never know, but I would like to have tried that. But again, didn't happen at that time. In fact, my first stock car race, if you will, modified race at Freeport, Illinois, my folks came there to watch, and darn if I didn't have a tire go down and climb the fence and flipped. And I tried waving at them as I was going by an ambulance, but it didn't work. Anyway, I was back at the racetrack. All I got was a very odd-looking head out of it. And the helmets at that time were not what you call helmets.
Mel, you continued to race into your 70s, competing against your son at the 2005 Indianapolis Speedrome Midget Series. That's pretty neat to have a chance to race with your son.
That's true. In fact, we got to race together at Winchester, and he was driving a very good race car, and for a while he was ahead of me and managed to get by and finish ahead of him. But he worked for us for 3 years, and DeBryce, and had a chance to go to Australia and New Zealand like we did for 24 years and bought a car from us. In fact, he won the Focus Championship for us that year. He bought a car from us with a Sesco motor in it and took it over there and won the New Zealand Championship. Met a gal in the pits, and the second year he went back, decided to get married, and the third year he went back, they did get married, sold the race car and brought a son home. So things do progress.
Over 394 total midget feature wins, seven USAC national titles. What are you most proud of?
Finishing the race and going on to the next one. And again, after my bonfire, I didn't have any fingers or thumb on the left hand, and we had to use a device like a spinner on a steering wheel. And so we were the first ones to go at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with that. And you're supposed to take your driver's test with other race cars around, but to show you how much faith they had in me, they waved all the other race cars off the track, and I was the only one out there. And so we did pass our test, only missed two laps out of the 20 laps, I think, that we had to go for different speed rates. and then to finish fifth in our very first 500, that was great. And it's just a miracle to being able to just, you're pinned to the wheel, but that pin on the steering wheel, you know, you can't change hand positions and so forth. And so if the front end got bent or something on a yellow or in a corner, you pull the steering wheel off, put it in the position it had to be in, and put it back on, and while you're still in motion. So that turned out good, too. And it was nice to be able to steer the Indy cars that way. At that time, you had to steer the car with one hand while you were changing gears, sway bars, and so forth with the other hand. So now it's all done on the steering wheel. You push buttons, and it's almost too easy.
To me, just the fact that you're here to be able to do this interview with us and tell us some of your history is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's always fun. In fact, when we traveled around the country, we spoke for Billy Graham, Tom Landry, and all those other good people. Coming back again, asked me to do it again, but they ended up choosing Jeff Gordon, and he's a much bore, if you will. But to be able to speak in New Zealand, Australia, and Canada, and around the country, wherever they had a gathering and wanted me to come and speak, that was always great, because it's a good time to tell a story about the Lord.
Your books, Hand for the Wheel and Burn to Life, awesome, and I would highly recommend them. Which one did you enjoy doing, or did you enjoy both of them equally?
Well, actually, the first one was the hardest one, if you will, but it sold 25,000 copies, and then the Hand for the Wheel came out, and it did two different printings, and so they're almost sold out. We still got, I think, 70 or so left to sell, and of course, at my age, I don't think we'll worry about another one. Even though we've been asked to do another one, it can't do much better than what we did with the first three. So, Hand for the Wheel turned out to be pretty good. In fact, we still got a few left.
If they would like one, what's the best way to get a hold of one?
Well, we have them, so if you want to get a hold of me here at Lebanon, we're in the phone book. Give us a call, and we'll always find out who you want them signed to, and then we send the book to those individuals, or we take them to the racetracks with us now. We ran 24 races this year, but I think we got rained out on three, so we sell them at the racetrack as well. So a lot of people still ask about them and still want to read about the Kenyon story, so that's the way we go.
The Mel Kenyon Classic Kart Race at Lebanon, Indiana. What a great tribute to you.
Yeah, we always have something going on that particular weekend, too, races or speaking engagements, but then this year we were able to be there all three nights at the racetrack, actually at the park in Lebanon. It was at the fairgrounds and then on the streets of Lebanon, and then they went to the park, and so that turned out to be the best place. And you can stand wherever you want to around that racetrack and watch those go-karts go. It's a good way to get started. It's the way Bryce started in go-karts, and I was sure glad he got out of those and into one of our cars with a roll cage and seat belts. Not too much protection in the go-karts, unfortunately. It's a way to get started. In fact, I was asked to go drive a go-kart in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, on an indoor track up there. And when I first got started in the thing, my first hot lap session, he says, "Hey, you're backing off in this two-cycle thing. You don't back off." And so after that, we had a good qualifying time, and we managed to win all the races and the features that we ran that particular night. And it had been 20 years since I've been in a go-kart, so that was a pretty good feeling to be able to do all that against the World Outlaw guys and everything, so that was good.
Mel, I'm sure you will agree, every single day we are losing more and more race history with everyone that passes away, and we really lost a good one in Dick Jordan.
Yep, that's true. He was one of the guys that was always kind of like us. We're the first ones there and the last ones to leave, and he had history. In fact, he had a basement full of memorabilia that he had saved. It's a shame that he went so soon after he found out what kind of cancer he had. In fact, a couple of guys on TV, one didn't last very long, and Dick didn't last very long either, but the other guy on TV didn't last very long either, but then Alex Rivette is still fighting that same problem, and he's still doing those shows, Jeopardy, so one never knows what obstacles and situations you have to get over and overcome. And so with the Lord's help, everything is possible.
Where you live in Indiana, it's really a hotbed of racing. Do you get to hang out with some of your old racing buddies very often?
Well, every now and then, they're kids, of course. So they come to us sometimes with their kids to drive the race cars. And we've had a few beginners, if you will, like A.J. Foyt, Marin Reddy, John Rutherford, Ryan Newman, Dick Jordan. And all those people had a way of getting started somehow. Dick Jordan didn't drive for us, but a lot of those people, eight of them, went to NASCAR, and some of them have come back to open-wheel stuff now, but we have two 14-year-olds. You can start driving our cars when you're 12 years old, and sometimes they have to add about 100, 140 pounds of weight to get them legal or have enough fuel left over in the tanks to make them legal. Sometimes they don't, but it's an interesting way to get started. The cars are all the same with the same motors, and so how it's set up and the ability of the driver is how it turns up. Like Spencer Basin, he won 16 features for us one year. There's only 20 races. He won 16 of them. And now he's in the World Outlaw cars, and he's won all kinds of midget championships. One particular year, I think it was 2 years ago. And Chris Windham, he started in one of our cars and won the championship. And there's been three or four guys that won the championship the first year, but Spencer was the most. Most guys win four features a year, people, guys and gals. And, in fact, Sarah Fisher drove for us, too, but Jessica Beam, she just won the third-year Focus Championship out east, and she won the championship for us, too. In fact, she drives for us the night before the 500 race here, and his finishes was well up to third place, I believe. But she run Focus cars out east and won the championship there for the third year in a row, so that's good, too.
Mel, thank you for all you've done during your racing career and all that you continue to do to promote racing and keep young people getting into the sport. And thank you for being with us here on the Dirt Show.
Well, it's been a real good pleasure to chat with everybody, and I hope I was able to inform some people about some of my stuff. And it's always good to talk about racing, especially to anybody that's interested in it, and a lot of people that come into the shop and visit. In fact, we have as much as 28 people from New Zealand, Australia come every year to go through the shop and through the pictures and so forth, hanging around. It's always fun to chat with those folks. In fact, a lot of those people from New Zealand, Australia come back 2 or 3 years in a row, so that's kind of good.
Mel, thank you so much for being with us.
You're right. It's a good pleasure. Thank you. God bless everybody.
For over 40 years, winning drivers have relied on VP Racing Fuels to optimize performance. Now get the same benefit with VP Pro Grade Full Synthetic Oil and High Performance Lubricants. VP's goal was to develop a best-in-class racing oil that offers world-class cutting-edge technology, enhanced durability and wear protection from the street to the track. VP's got you covered with the next generation performance.
Rhino Ag equipment is used in agricultural, commercial, or industrial mowing applications, landscape preparation, roadside maintenance, and many other farm and ranch applications. For a dealer near you, visit rhinoag.com. Rhino Ag is excited to announce their sponsorship of Jimmy Owens for the 2019 Lucas Oil Late Model Series. Follow Jimmy on Facebook at Jimmy Owens Racing Updates or online at jimmyowens20.com.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers Car Care products. Justice Brothers products are manufactured for industrial, agricultural, heavy equipment, and automotive equipment. Their high-quality products are used by today's top racing teams. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to automotive enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers Car Care Products Distributor today at 952-934-7354 or visit our website at justicebrothers.com. Go with a winner. Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
Hey, Wolf & Sons Yard Service has heavy equipment. This is Scott Wolf. Whether you need a basement dug, a building removed, footings for a remodel, an RV, camper, or boat pad installed, rock, sand, or dirt hauled, or even a driveway or parking lot road graded, please let us know at Wolf & Sons. We have dump trucks, excavators, a backhoe, bulldozer, and road grader to help you with your large or small projects around your house, farm, or business. Call Wolf & Sons today at 455-3524.
When it comes to buying the parts that will put your race car in victory lane, all you want to know are the facts. Fact: Arrow Racing wheels can be seen on dirt and asphalt tracks across the nation. Fact: Arrow Racing wheels have become the largest premier racing wheel supplier by supplying quality and durability at an affordable price. Fact: The Arrow 59 Series wheel has won more Monster Energy NASCAR, Xfinity, and Gander Outdoors Truck Series races than all other brands combined. As a matter of fact, if you want to run with the winners, see arrowracingwheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packaging when it comes to shipping your business products? Hi, this is Ryan. Here at Foamcraft Packaging, we provide a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all of our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call toll-free 1-844-655-2365. That's 844-655-2365.
Welcome back to our sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be talking to Bob Sagan from Shocker Hitch. And Bob, I have had so many drivers on The Dirt Show over the years talking about Pro Chassis and how it changed racing for them. Local driver Mark Noble had huge success, and driver Jay Ruby said it really changed his racing career because finally, he had a car that when it hit the track, it was good right out of the box. And if he stayed close to the baseline adjustment, you could just make it faster from there. And you have always been an innovator, Bob.
Well, I agree. I give you a little history on how that Pro Chassis thing all started. I built my own race cars way back in the 70s and 80s. And in about 1985, the modifieds were coming in, and all the cars were being built, most of the cars anyway, in a home garage. So they were crude. You know, people were slapping together well pipe and whatever it might be in order to build a car, and they were just almost ancient looking. So it was time for somebody to come in with some professional manufacturing, and I had already built cars for a number of years and knew how they should be built, and I had an experience in manufacturing. I worked for fabrication shops. So it was just a natural opening, and I filled the need, and I think we built about 1,000 cars over the years, and quite a deal.
In 2000, you sold Pro Chassis and started Travel Light and developed a hitch that works like no other. Now, if I'm going to buy a hitch for a trailer that I'm going to be pulling down the highway with some expensive equipment in it or my livestock, I want a hitch that's going to work. And why wouldn't I go to a guy known for manufacturing history and innovation?
Well, let me give you a little history on the Shocker hitch. So, of course, I was racing myself in the 90s, and everything was hunky-dory, and I was traveling all over the country and pulling my little trailer. I bought a new truck, a one-ton dually, real stiff in the rear, and within just a few hundred miles, my trailer cracked up in the front. So I fixed it and reinforced it and just cracked in another place the next time out. So I realized that we had a situation where we were throwing the jarring effect into the trailer, and that energy just didn't have any place to go but to the corners, to the weld joints and so on, and that kept breaking the trailers. So I developed a little hitch using my race car stuff. I took a coil spring, a piece of tubing, and a hitch ball and made a hitch. The trailer stopped breaking. The trailer towed better, less jarring effect. It was a win-win. So then, fast forward a few years, I went into the trailer manufacturing business. Towing trailers around the country, delivering them to dealers, I got onto these choppy highways, and I realized that, you know what, these trailers tow horrible on these rough roads. So if I'm having this problem with a nice trailer, everybody else must be having the same problem. So then I went back to the same hitch design, essentially, that I had built 10 years earlier, refined it, put an airbag in it, and at that point realized that I had something that was really valuable, and sold the trailer business and went strictly into the hitches.
And I'm sure Dirt Show listeners have heard the Mark Noble testimonial ad, but when a driver of his caliber can notice the difference in a hitch on a trailer within a few miles, you know you have something there.
Oh, you'll put this hitch on and notice it in a city block. It's that obvious.
The other thing that works really well with these hitches is towing livestock, because you want to keep them safe back there, and also they move around in that trailer, unlike a race car that's strapped down, so having these hitches really helps that effect too.
Well, exactly, and here's part of why that works. So everybody thinks that I put a hitch on and I get a smoother ride in the truck. Well, and that's true, but it goes both ways. The truck is also beating up on the trailer just the same as the trailer beats up on the truck. And so when we put a cushion in the middle, now the trailer rides smoother and the truck rides smoother. We just give that energy, that banging force, a place to go. So it just filters into the airbag, and it's a win-win for both the truck and the trailer.
Bob, I know you're also a huge race fan. How was your 2019 racing season? Did you get out to see some great events?
You know, not as much as I would like. Well, part of it was the weather. I don't think racing even started here until July. We had rain almost every weekend, so it was limited in that way. You know, we did get out and do a little racing. I've still got a number of race cars, a couple of them anyway. And so we took those out and tried a few experiments. And actually, we came out fairly well. I would say our experiments were successful and we figured out a couple of things. So it's always that little challenge of how do we beat the original systems and make something better. So it was fun.
Always the innovator.
Yeah, always trying, you bet.
Bob, you have some great videos on these products. So if fans would like to go out and watch a video, you can actually see what you're getting before you buy it.
Oh, yeah. We've got a YouTube channel, a Shocker Hitch YouTube channel. And I get out there and I try to explain how and why things work and what they're going to do for you. It's been a lot of fun. When you come up with an idea and you pursue it and you take it to the market and it works and your customers are happy, you know, it's very fulfilling.
Bob, if they'd like to find out more about your product or ask some specific questions, what is the best way to find out more about Shocker Hitch?
So we've got shockerhitch.com, and then, of course, we've got our email address, and we're answering questions off of emails all the time. That's info@shockerhitch.com. And our phone numbers and everything are listed, of course, on our website, and there's videos, and it'll explain everything fairly well.
Bob, thanks for all you do, and thanks for being a supporter of The Dirt Show, and thanks for being with us today.
Okay, well, thank you, Clayne.
Napa Know How.
Why should you buy a 99-cent Napa bag? Because it's no ordinary bag. It can save you 20% on three or more items you can fit inside. Some call that magic. Others say it's the eighth wonder of the world. But whatever it is, it's the best way to save you 20% on brakes, filters, wipers, and more. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/19.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there whether it's a small or large project with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna. Licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor, your Total Source Husqvarna dealer in Blooming Prairie, has everything your yard needs. From chainsaws, leaf blowers, and weed trimmers to zero-turn mowers and everything in between. That's what being your Husqvarna Total Source dealer is all about. Stop in today to see the best selection in quality Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. That's Miners Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
A few years ago, I hit a deer with my van on the freeway. Wow, what an impact. Thankfully, no one in the vehicle was injured. When we pulled over and got out to check the damage, I could not believe the amount of destruction. Right away, I called Bob at Midwest Collision. That is one of the best decisions I have ever made. Not only did he assure me that everything would be taken care of, Bob and his staff followed through with their promise. If you ever need collision repair, please call Midwest Collision today at 332-2433.
So you're inviting friends over for a friendly barbecue? Nice. But if you're a true friend, you'll start with Cookies Barbecue Sauce. I'm Speed the Sauce Man, and let me tell you why the right sauce is so important. Cookies Barbecue Sauce is made from real deal ingredients, and I haven't changed the recipe since 1976. Cookies Barbecue Sauce complements meat. It doesn't smother it. It just makes your food taste better. Smart cookies use cookies. Anything less is just meat abuse.
Dryer and grain handling equipment owners, International Steel Erectors, and NASCO Equipment are now scheduling preventative maintenance jobs to prepare you for a smoother fall harvest. Our experienced crews will do a pre-season checkup on your grain legs, conveyors, air systems, augers, and other related equipment. Our dryer service program consists of checking augers, bearings, chains, belts, gas lines, gear oil, and cleaning the burner to ensure easy startups when harvest time is upon us. Call us at International Steel Erectors or NASCO Equipment today at 507-451-3448.
Welcome back to our special segment here on The Dirt Show. And as always, I'm joined by Josh from Rhino Ag. And Josh, I want to start off by thanking Rhino Ag. I watch a lot of MAV TV because there's some great motorsports events on there, and whether it's a tractor pull or it is the Lucas Oil late models, I see the Rhino Ag logo all over. You guys bring a lot of motorsports events to us out here in Minnesota and the rural areas that we wouldn't get to see if it wasn't for sponsors like Rhino Ag.
Well, we appreciate that, and we want to send out a big thank you to all the listeners of this show and all those that are involved in motorsports. It's the fans, it's the partnerships, like being a part of Lucas Oil and the Late Model Dirt Series and the Pro Pulling League, and it's those partnerships and those fans that help a company like ours put our foot into the motorsports world and get to showcase the products that we make and then turn around and just get to enjoy motorsports together. And that's not something you get to do with every other sport that's out there. But when it comes to motorsports, it's a big family, and that's what we are at Rhino Ag as well.
A few years ago, I had Richard Petty on the Dirt Show, and one of the things that he said that really stuck with me, if he was walking down the street and seeing two competing businesses, one on each side, he would cross the street to go to the one that sponsors motorsports. And I think a lot of the Dirt Show listeners, a lot of the drivers, a lot of the sponsors feel exactly the same way. So if they've been listening this season and they've heard about a Rhino Ag product they're interested in purchasing for their business or their farm or their rural home, and they want to purchase it yet before the end of the season, you've got some great financing options for them.
Yeah, and that's just another way for us to give back to the fans and the listeners and those that want to also represent Rhino Ag products by making a purchase. We try to offer some great financing and make it easier for those that may not have the cash to still be able to go out and get exactly what they want to get, and that's kind of another way of saying thank you for their patronage.
Josh, thank you so much for being on with us all season, and I look forward to seeing Rhino Ag plastered all over MAV TV all winter long while I'm sitting in the house with 4 feet of snow outside and we can't go to any races. If they'd like to find out more about your products, watch videos, or contact a dealer in our area to see your product up close, how can they do that?
As always, they can go to rhinoag.com. That's rhinoag.com. There's multiple links on there to YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, as well as the ability to punch in your zip code and find the nearest dealer so you can go put your hands on a Rhino Ag product, figure out what we can offer you to fit your needs.
Josh, thank you so much for being with us here on The Dirt Show all season long.
Well, thank you to you, Clayton, and all the listeners, and we hope to see everybody this time next year.
Hauling can be hard on you and your horse. Smooth out the ride with a shocker hitch.
We use Air Ride technology to take the bump and the jerk out of towing.
Right now you can get the Gooseneck Surge Model Shocker Hitch for just $7.99 and try it at no risk for 30 days.
If you don't feel the difference immediately, I'll buy it back. No questions asked.
Visit ShockerHitch.com for the complete product line and video of the Shocker Hitch in action. Shocker Hitch, a smoother ride for you and your horse, guaranteed.
When it comes to adventure, you always want more. And the 2019 Honda Pioneer 1005 is built to give you more. More power thanks to a 999cc engine. More performance from a 6-speed automatic dual-clutch transmission with paddle shifters. And more fun with Honda's quick-flip seating system that lets you go from a 3-seater to a 5-seater in seconds. So head to Trimble's Cycle Center in Austin and check out the 2019 Honda Pioneer 1005 today. For your safety, read the owner's manual, wear a helmet and eye protection, always wear your seatbelt, and keep the side nets and doors closed. Pioneers are for drivers 16 years and older. Trimble's Cycle Center in Austin, USA's second oldest Honda dealer.
The difference between a Hinchman fire suit and others? The difference is safety. All Hinchman fire suits are made with materials that are permanently fire resistant. That's why Nomex remains the standard. The difference is experience and innovation. Hinchman started the racing suit industry over 80 years ago. The difference is quality, value, and customer service. Your suit is an investment in your safety. And Hinchman is committed to giving you the safest and best racing suit along with friendly personal service. Hinchman, why settle for anything less?
Hi, Jeremy here from Owatonna Auto Clinic. We know when it comes to your vehicle maintenance, you have a lot of options. Sometimes with so many options, it's hard to find an honest, reliable auto shop. That's where we come in. Locally owned Owatonna Auto Clinic, with a commitment to providing our customers with honest, quality service at a reasonable price. Our technology, education, expertise provide you with the best car care imaginable. For an appointment, call 414-AUTO or 414-2886.
Hi, this is Jim Mesgan here, and if you are an auto enthusiast like I am, you need to check out our website at Mesgan.com. See all the parts and cars available in our U-Pullet lot, new arrivals, ready to part out, or we can locate those hard-to-find parts for you. Mesgan Auto Parts in Ellendale and our other vintage lot down at Glenville, M2 Auto Parts, have been providing quality parts for you since 1972. Give us a call at 507-684-2100 or online at Mesgan.com.
If your classic isn't so classic, bring it into Auto Trim Design of Owatonna. We can fix the upholstery, the carpet, replace a sagging headliner, make your old car look new again, make your seats comfortable again. Whether it's a classic car, work truck, boat, or anything else that moves, we can fix the upholstery and make your ride like new. And we work on convertibles. We're located in Owatonna at 3275 Old Highway 14, 1 mile west of Walmart.
Welcome to the Dirt Track segment, brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
Well, race fans, I hate to say it, but here are the final race results of the 2019 season. Unless a few of you want to make the trip down to Marshalltown tonight, this will be it for 2019. Last Friday night, they were racing at the historic Hamilton County Speedway in Webster City, Iowa. In a super late model 20-lap A main, it was Charging Charlie McKenna over Jeff Eike. In the USRA B mods, Ben Mowdry over Dan Hovden. In the USRA Hobby Stock A main, Brandon Nielsen over Eric Stanton. In the USRA Modified 20-lap A-Main, Jacob Bleese over Kyle Brown. And in the USRA Stock Car 25-lap A-Main, Dylan Anderson over Kyle Falk. We were at Hamilton County Speedway last Saturday night, October 19th, for the finale of the season. In a 20-lap super late model A-Main, it was Jeff Eike over Ryan Griffith. In the USRA B-Mod A-Main, Dan Hovden over Chris Jackson. In the USRA Hobby Stocks, Chris Hovden over Dustin Gulbranson. In the USRA Modified A-Main, Lucas Schott over Josh Angst. And in the stock cars, Mitch Hovden over Kyle Falk. And last Saturday night, they were going topless at the Topless Nationals at Ogilvie Raceway. In a 35-lap Modified A-Main, Shane Sabraski over Dave Kane. In the B-Modifieds, Shane Sabraski over Dave Kane. In the Mod 4s, the 37 of Dean Larson over Forrest Foster. In the Street Stocks, it was Zach Elward over Justin Vogel. And in the Super Stocks, Tim Johnson over Dan Nasalki.
A car guy will never forget their first hot rod, Richard Petty's STP car, or Don Garlitz's Swamp Rat. If you race a car or own a car that means something to you, then CS Customs can capture those memories in a custom diecast. CS Customs are locally owned and work with you directly to get the details just right. If you're into cars, racing, or just looking for something unique for an event or your business, then you need to contact Chris Stangler at 612-965-0892 or see ChrisStanglersCustoms.com. Access doors are a pivotal component of your business. Whether you operate a factory, repair shop, commercial garage, fabrication facility, restaurant, or warehouse, undependable doors obstruct the smooth flow of your operation. Powerlift doors adapt to all opening sizes and will easily meet your special operational requirements. The straightforward, clean Powerlift design eliminates the myriad of moving parts found in ordinary doors. We offer a range of auxiliary power systems to ensure your Powerlift door operates seamlessly in the face of power outages and other emergencies. Working together with you, we will create the Powerlift solution best suited to the demands of your enterprise. Contact us today at 507-374-9306.
How bad do you want to win? Hi, this is Tyler Walker from Walker Performance Filtration. When I buckle my belts and put my helmet on, I have one goal in mind. Winning. Walker Performance Filtration Systems allow more air and less contaminants, keeping your motors clean and creating more usable power. Drivers like Sammy Swindell, Brian Clausen, and Aaron Rutzel can't afford to make the wrong choice. That's why they choose us. Walker Performance Filtration has systems for 410, 360, and 305 sprint cars, midgets, stock cars, modifieds, outlaw cars, go-karts, and even custom filters. Visit www.walkerperformancefiltration.com or give us a call at 818-252-7788.
Hi, this is Linus Mack, and you are tuned into The Dirt Show.
Hi, this is Doug Wolfgang. You listen to The Dirt Show.
Hi, this is Tommy Meyer, and you're listening to The Dirt Show.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.